Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and welcome to the weekly teleclass. And this is a class where I will first talk about a topic that's designed to deepen our consciousness and awareness, and then I will go into cardology, which is the science of the cards, and I'll be giving a reading for someone on the line today. Okay, so as usual, I always like to start off with a prayer. And so if you're able to, just close your eyes and take in these words. We ask for supporting consciousness in assisting us in awakening and opening our hearts and inspiring and empowering us to experience the truth about ourselves. We ask for support in feeling our connection with the essence of everyone and everything in the universe at all times so that we can truly know and feel we are one. And so it is, and so be it. Okay, so today's topic will be negative identity, masses, and activations. And I've been talking about identities pretty much since the beginning of the class for the past 2.5 months, and if anyone wants to go back and have a refresher, you can download the past classes at my website. I just uploaded the last three classes, but there are many classes that talk about the identities, because identities are going to be a thread in the topics that I will be discovering. So, but today we're going to be talking about the negative identities and the activations, how they get activated in our life. But last week I talked about our emotions, so I'm just going to do a brief recap of our emotions. And our emotions are the field and the causal sequence. We've been talking about the causal sequence of life, which is be, feel, think, do, relate, and have. Being is the identity. It's our definition of ourselves. And what we feel comes from our who we're being. What we think comes from who we're being and feeling, and what we do comes from what we think, and then we end up having. So it's like this causal sequence. One affects the other. So our emotions are the feeling in this sequence, and our emotions are energies that sort of impact the field of consciousness, that impact the conscious energy field, and it causes different flavors of experience. And our emotions, again, are part of a polarity spectrum. So they're a gradient, a range of emotions from the positive to the negative, from the extreme of happiness and euphoria to unhappiness and suffering. And we could say our emotions are real, so our emotions are happiness or they're pain. They're a part of this polarity spectrum. But above all, our emotions are love. They are the love energy, or in the polarity, the anti-love energy, okay? And then to take it one step further, we talked about how our emotions are not only love, they're actually self-love. It's how we feel about ourselves. Our emotions are really about how we feel about ourselves. We often think that our emotions are about what's going on around us and about other things outside of us, but really we're always either in joy or unhappy about how we feel about ourselves, okay? And then to take that even further, our emotions are our love or our anti-love, like our hate or dislike for ourselves, according to whatever identity we are in at any particular time, okay? So it's like, it goes like this. When we're in a positive identity, you know, we love ourselves, and we experience that energy as positive emotion. So if we know, if we know and we're intelligent, that's an identity, a wisdom identity, I am. So if I know and I know I'm intelligent and I know the answer and I know how to do things, then I know that I can, that's the power. And if I can, then that means I'm valuable. And if I'm valuable, then we love ourselves, okay? So that's how it goes. On the negative side, if I'm in a negative identity of, you know, I'm stupid, I don't know anything, then that means I really won't be able to do it. I can't do it, which is anti-power. And then if I can't do it, I'm a failure, which is anti-value. I'm not valuable, and I'm worthless, and then I'm not lovable. So this is how it goes with us. These are how our emotions get generated. Our emotions are really our love or anti-love for ourselves according to whatever essence identity we have activated at any given time, okay? And so for today, our purpose is going to, we're going to focus on the negative emotions, okay, which is basically anti-love for ourselves according to the negative identities that we've actually created within ourselves, okay? And so you can say behind every negative emotion, there's always a negative identity lurking somewhere, okay? And so today we're going to deal with, I'm going to go a little deeper, and we're going to talk about how actually masses of energies get formed around these negative identities over a period of time. And it goes like this. So if I'm going to call this a negative identity mass, it's an anti-essence identity. So an anti-essence identity, remember the essences are wisdom, power, value, and then we determine whether, how we love ourselves based on those three. So it's some kind of identity, an anti-essence identity, so an anti-power, anti-wisdom, anti-valuable, I'm not good enough, I'm powerless, I'm not intelligent. Those are anti-identity identities, okay? But a mass would be one of those identities or several of those identities invalidated with an opinion of bad. Remember, I did a whole show on the creation of bad, and you can find that on my website, as I said, okay? So I have an identity, a negative identity. Let's say I am stupid. And then I invalidate that identity by having an opinion of bad around it. I am stupid, and it's bad to be stupid. And that actually triggers negative emotions, okay? So we have the identity, and I'm stupid. We already feel bad. And then we, on top of that, we compound it with this creation of bad. And because in bad, when we think we're bad, we resist. We try to push away, stop, or destroy that which we think is bad. So we have this identity, we have then an opinion that it's bad, and then we think we should stop it, destroy it, get rid of it some kind of way. And when we do that, it's negative energy actually gets generated, and then we use that negative energy to try to change it, to try to push it away. But if you use negative energy, remember the law of creation, whatever we energize with increases. And so when we use negative energy to try to do anything, it actually just increases, it creates more negative energy. It generates more negative energy. So it's like a loop. It's like this circle. And so what happens is you got the negative identity, and the identity of itself actually does generate sort of not feeling good about ourselves. But then the creation of bad on top of that generates resistance to it, which generates more negative energy. And then you end up with this mass of negative energy, and then you're still, which makes you want to even more get rid of it, and so you resist it even more, which generates even more negative energy, because whatever we put energy into, whether it's negative or positive, will make it bigger. So then you end up with these negative energy masses, okay, until you begin to learn how creation really works, and then you begin to undo that. So a negative identity mass is a negative identity with a creation of bad on top of it, which generates an emotional charge because of the resistance to it, okay? And what happens is we have quite a few of these masses in our subconscious, okay, that have been generated over time. I mean, so a negative identity mass is in our subconscious, meaning that they're outside of our conscious awareness, okay? So what happens is, okay, so again, the combination of the three elements of the negative identity, the creation of bad, and the resulting anti-love from all the resistance constitutes a mass, okay? But so we have our subconscious, and you could say our subconscious is the space around us, but that which is outside of our conscious awareness. And you could say the space is full of old mental and emotional creations, full of these negative identity masses, memories, concepts studied and learned. So so it's full of old creations, and it's full of these masses, hundreds, perhaps even thousands of them, okay? And you might think of your subconscious as just like a warehouse full of things, you know. Some of the things are important, some are useful, some are just packed with stuff, okay? And so the sum total of So the sum total of all of these things, like especially the negative identity masses, actually, you could say it constitutes like a shell in some way, an energetic shell that kind of keeps us in some way separate from the higher aspect of our being. It's as if it's like clouds or just like clouds of this energy of these masses that kind of keep us from the truth about who we are, okay? So, and they're latent in our subconscious, okay? So whenever some event occurs in our life, some appropriate event occurs within our perception of in our life, it often triggers these negative identity masses, and they move from our subconscious into our conscious awareness. That's how we become aware that we have this particular, say, experience or identity going on. Something happens and it triggers something, and we call that an activation. So an event triggers an activation, and, you know, some people call it as, oh, my button was pushed. We all know that. Oh, he pushed my button or she pushed my button or that thing happened when I lost my job. It just made me fearful. So, you know, and so this is how we actually, it's a good thing because this is how we actually begin to become aware of what's actually going on deep within us that's outside of our conscious awareness most of the time. And when we learn how to really work with these activations and when we learn how to navigate them, we can actually begin to create a life that's filled with more joy. Okay, and also too, you know, you can just be walking around, and anything can trigger a memory. I mean, it could work like you're walking past a tree that has some kind of a jasmine bloom on it, and it triggers a memory of say your mother who wore jasmine perfume. Life will trigger certain things, and when we learn how to see this as a positive experience, and when we actually learn the tools to be able to handle these memories, these identities that come up as a result of these life experiences, then you could say we're on the path to really reclaiming our power from these masses of energies that have just sort of been hanging out within our conscious awareness, just waiting until the time when we're able to really transform them, okay? So now, just to go into a little more detail, that's when we experience a negative identity mass. We're primarily experiencing them as negative emotion, okay? And so we're experiencing the emotional part of it. You know, the when something happens, you know, some event happens and it triggers us. It's usually it's very emotional force, okay? But I want to kind of make a distinction between the identity and the emotion, because because the emotion is like the big fireworks. You feel those. But identities, the energies of identities can often be much more subtle, and you can kind of miss it because compared to the emotion that gets generated from the mass, the identity, the actual energy from the identity can seem just so much more subtle, and we can just miss it, okay? Because, again, as I said, these masses have three parts. There's the identity, there's the creation of bad, and then there's all of the resistance, which is where the negative emotion really gets generated from, mostly from all the resistance. But always underneath, so usually when these masses get triggered, we're experiencing the really heavy emotions from it. But always underneath the emotion is an identity, which is a little different than the emotion. And there's usually always the creation of bad somewhere. So it's like we have to learn what these three components are and sort of to discharge or de-energize these three components, okay? So I just wanted to make sure that you understand the three components, and that it's usually the negative emotion that is really the most difficult part and the loudest part and the fireworks, okay? And this is going to be important as I talk about how to actually just create these masses, okay? So we move through life, events occur. These masses get triggered. They get triggered from our subconscious into our conscious awareness, and usually we experience it first as these really heavy negative emotions, okay? And the activation can last a few minutes. It can last a few days, a few hours, months, sometimes even years, okay? And usually what we'll do is we'll try all kinds of things to end the negative experience, everything from smoking cigarettes to alcohol to being a workaholic to, you know, overeating, sex, anything. Sometimes even, you know, it gets so bad that, you know, we want to, like, leave the planet. okay? And so really what we do with the activation is actually critical to our happiness. It's critical to our life, our relationships, our personal development, and our spiritual growth. So what we want to do is to learn what to do when we get activated, okay? If we learn how to discreate these masses, you know, we will step by step end our negative emotional pain, and we'll be able to free ourselves from the compulsion to suppress pain with negative behavior. And we'll learn how to eliminate, you know, because the masses, you can just imagine over years, the years of your life, these masses have been generated. And so they're kind of, you know, they have different textures and different layers to them. And so there's no way that we're going to actually be able to discreate a mass all in one setting. So each time you actually can learn how to discreate some, whatever is up for you in that moment, you're actually eliminating just that part of the mass in your subconscious, okay? And that part of that mass will no longer exist, and it will never activate on you again, okay? And when we do this over time, and we do this with every activation, we eventually clean out all the near masses, and then we can pass into actually a new level of consciousness and permanent joy. But I just want to say that, you know, this is a step-by-step process, and it doesn't happen overnight. And you could, you know, we really discreate only a portion of it, mainly because we cannot, as human beings, really handle the level of emotions that have been generated in these masses. And so we only do, you know, so much at a time. But just rest assured that when you are discreating that moment, you are discreating that aspect of it permanently. There just may be more to go, but you are discreating that aspect of it, okay? So when we don't really discreate that aspect of the mass that comes up, what happens is, you know, we just continue to suffer through it, or we resist it, we deny it, we ignore it, we suppress it. As we said, and what happens is eventually that particular near mass will actually go back into your subconscious. It goes back into our subconscious. And basically we've really done nothing to eliminate that mass. It will just subside back into our subconscious, and it'll just lurk there, and it'll until it's activated again by the next sort of event in our life that triggers it, okay? And so and furthermore, we really haven't made any progress in transforming our feelings, our be feel. And therefore, when we don't transform our be feel, which is our identity, it's the be feel is the root of all of our experience in life. It's the root of what we're creating our life and ourself to be. And when we don't transform them, then we actually don't make any progress in actually creating real, true, and lasting happiness in our life. So the secret to life, you know, and so basically, and then we'll just keep reliving the same patterns over and over again, which is, you know, I mean, most of us have had the experience of, you know, being right back in the same sort of situation or having the same kind of emotional pain, and it's because we haven't really learned how to transform these identities. So the secret in life really is to learn how to transform, discreate, de-energize, whatever word you want to use, these negative identity masses, and then to actually create and sustain and energize the positive identities. Okay, so the ability to be able to discreate these negative identities and create positive ones is the basic ability that we need to handle life and to achieve love, which is happiness. So the ability to control our identities, to control our being, which is the first and most important element in the causal sequence, is the element, and it's the element, the be. Everything stems from the be. The feeling stems from the be, the being. It's the most important element. It's the first element. And that element determines all the rest. It determines our feeling, our thinking, our doing, and our having. So really our goal in life is to learn how to transform, de-energize, de-create these negative identity realities, these negative identity masses, okay? And we want to do that by learning how to discreate. Now, I'm going to do a series of classes on how to do this because there are different processes and methods that one could do. But I'm just going to briefly go over the just some basic things, and then that'll be the end of the topic for today. So some basic laws you want to remember about discreation is resistance causes persistence. Whatever we resist, meaning that if we think something is bad, we generally want to get rid of it, stop it, make it be different. That's resistance. And that's just going to, whatever you resist, it's going to create more of that which you want to resist. So first thing you want to do is to really look at this creation of bad, this opinion of bad, and to sort of transcend thinking anything is bad and rather go to a negative and positive scale of evaluating anything. Is it negative or positive? Negative meaning, is it taking me in the direction that I want to go? Not that it's bad. The road to, if I'm in Texas, I want to go to New York, and I get on the road to L.A., the road to L.A. is not bad. It's just not taking me where I want to go. So it's negative in the sense that it's not serving my purposes at this moment. That's how you want to begin to look at things. And if it's not serving my purpose, then I just want to find a way to get on the road to, in the direction that I'm really wanting to go. So basically transcending this creation of bad, really being aware when we're in resistance, and really learning how to actually, first we have to actually be able to flow the negative energy that we've already generated from this resistance, okay? So that's resistance causes persistence. So we really want to work with, we have to work with our resistance first that we've built up. Then the other basic law is whatever we experience will discreate on its own. Experience, which is experience for what it is, will discreate naturally. So we want to give space to our all of our experiences. When we give space to all of our experiences, it's as if, because change is the only constant. Life is about change, and when we give space to it, when we're not resisting it, it will actually begin to flow out and change and shift on its own. So if we remember those two things, that will go a long way to helping us really be able to de-energize and transform the negative realities that we have already created. Because we cannot create what we want by resisting what we have already created. We actually have to be able to first see and acknowledge what we already have created. And if we've been resisting it for a long time, we have to give space to the resistance to let that emotional charge from that resistance be experienced. And then we have to actually give space to identity, and they will begin to shift on their own. And then we can begin to generate and to create and energize the positive identities that we want to experience instead, okay? So if we fully allow ourselves to experience anything in our consciousness, and this is done in consciousness, you could say, within our being, deep within our being, if we allow ourselves to fully experience anything, any thought, any emotions, or any even resistance, it will actually just create on its own. But as part of this, though, the first thing, though, we must acknowledge that we are the creator of our experiences, okay? So we are the creator, and therefore we're the creator of all of the things that we want to discreate. We are the creator of all of these negative identity masses, and we're the creator of the positive identity masses. We are the creator of everything, and it's important to really honor that and to acknowledge that and to own that, because only a creator can discreate their creations. If you don't believe you're creating anything, then you really have, you're saying you have no power in your experience, and so you don't have any power to do anything. So acknowledging that we are the creator of our experiences is the first thing, and then allowing ourselves to fully experience these identities. And we do that by opening ourselves up and relaxing. And you can even give the command to yourself, open feeling, open my being, and open my feeling, my being to feeling as much as I can feel. And you let yourself really experience what you've created. If I've created, I'm stupid, then we have to let ourselves be and feel that to discreate it. And really, the identities are really not the problem to experience. It's really all the resistance that we have generated over the years that is really the real hard or the real emotional charge, okay? So as I said, I'm going to go into detail on this next week. But if you can begin to give space to your feelings, now that you'll begin to have a different experience, or it'll just become interesting to you to be able to, what if I just didn't judge this feeling at first? What if I just gave space to it and let myself feel? Oh, I feel like I'm powerless. If I just let myself feel and see what happens, okay, and let yourself feel that, and just as a process of experimentation, okay? So, so that is what I want to say about that today. And next week I'm going to go into more detail on how to actually begin to discreate these negative identity masses. So the negative identity masses get triggered by events in our lives, and that's actually, and before we have, most of us have tried to just suppress it, deny it, get rid of it, because we haven't known how to actually deal with them. But now we're going to actually learn how to actually deal with these activations and to sort of begin to clean out these masses from our subconscious so that we can actually begin to have a different experience of life. And one is resistance causes persistence, so we want to work with our transcending the creation of bad and letting go of resistance, and we want to allow ourselves to give space to everything, to all our emotions, to all our feelings, and we want to just experiment with that and see what happens when we don't automatically tense up or if we don't automatically judge it as good or bad, but just allow ourselves to give it space, and then to see what happens with that energy, just as an experiment. So that's sort of my suggestion for this week until we go into next week, when I will go into more detail about how to actually step-by-step begin to just create these identities. Okay, so that is the topic for today, and now I'm going to go into the cards, and the science of the cards is an ancient system said to have been dated back to Atlantis, but its known origins to date back to Egypt, to the esoteric society called the Magi, the Fellowship of the Magi, okay? And it's really a representation of our Earth's calendar. The 52 cards represent the 52 days in the week. And if you add up the numerical value of the 52 cards plus the joker, it ends up being 365 and a quarter, which is the number of days in a year. The 13 cards in each suit correspond to the 13 lunar cycles of the year, and the four suits correspond to the four seasons. And so it is, I know you think, wow, you never knew that a common deck of playing cards represented the Earth's calendar. I know, who knew? Life is such a mystery. It's so interesting. Okay, there are all kinds of things that are out there for us, but I think we live in such a, you know, our minds are so set sometimes that there's so much going on that we're not even aware of in our lives. And it's so interesting, I think, as we unfold in life, when we open ourselves up to different experiences and for different things that have always been there to come into our awareness. And so I just think that's a really interesting thing about life. So this card system is really represents our Earth's calendar, and the system is such that I think there are three main uses for it. It helps us understand ourselves, because when we know our birth card and our planetary ruling card, it really can help us really own who we are, what we've come here to do. The second is that for every year of our life, there are called spreads, and there's a set of cards for each year, for each of those cards, and those cards are set. And this system, I'm not dealing with an actual physical deck of cards. It's actually a system that's been calculated mathematically. It's a ancient system called quadration. And so for 90 years, there are a set of cards or a set of cards which is called a spread. And they're fixed for each year of our life, for each of the birth cards. And when you know how to read the energies of these cards, it actually just shows you energies that are present, and you can learn to harmonize or align yourself with the cards. So it just, like, gives you some information to help you make practical steps and take practical actions for the year. And there are even 7-year cycles, but that's more advanced. So that's the second aspect of it. And the third aspect of it is relationships. I mean, you can compare your cards to another card and really understand how you can really relate to another person. And in fact, I mean, you can buy relationship reports from my website. So those are the three areas. It helps you know yourself better. It can help you learn how to navigate your life from year to year and from period to period. And it gives you information on how you relate well with others. So, and today I just go over the day, and then I'm going to give Elizabeth Lambert a reading. So today is Today is September 21st, 2010, and a person born today is a Three of Clubs birth card with a Three of Spades ruling card. My God, this person would be so creative, because the threes are the creative numbers in this system. Super, super creative. If you get someone with the Three of Clubs and the Three of Spades, wow. I mean, they have, and the Three of Clubs basically is the gift of mental creativity. It has the greatest gift of mental creativity in the deck. And these people would be bored with routine. They always are coming up with some new ideas. It's like their minds are full of new ideas, and sometimes it can lead to worry and stress, because if they don't learn how to ground all of these ideas, it's like someone with, you can imagine, with ideas swirling around in their heads. That's like a three of clubs person, you know, if they're not grounded. Wonderful ideas, lots of ideas, always coming up with something new, but they have to learn how to ground it lest they worry. They also, through one of their karma cards, have a fear of poverty, and sometimes this fear can have them use that creativity in questionable ways, or could have them maybe do work that is not really suited for them because of this fear. But they really need to be doing something where they can really use their creativity. And they're really here to transform the energy from worry, which is negative side, into creativity, and fear into faith, okay? And the three of spades, again, would just make them even more creative, because it's also an artist card. It's actually the strongest of the artist card. And the three of spades can also represent someone who is divided, like their creativity, their mind is divided, their creativity is divided. And you can often, sometimes these people often lead double lives. There's a split somewhere in their life. And they also have a strong sexual and romantic drive that makes commitment a challenge. And it's really funny because both Tiger Woods and Hugh Hefner have three of spades ruling cards. So you can get some, you know, you can kind of see, you know, Tiger had this kind of double life going on and no one knew it. And there's always some kind of split somewhere in the three of spades, okay? And who knows where it will show up, but it will usually show up. And again, they have a strong sexual romance and sex sort of drives them. You can see that from Hugh Hefner, okay? But they also have great business ability huge creativity. So that's something about the three, that someone born today would be a highly, highly creative person. Okay, so now I'm going to unmute the line and see if Elizabeth is on for her reading. Let's see. Elizabeth, you there?
I sure am. Hi, Claire. So that was wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so I'm going to get started. Let's see what time.
Okay.
All right, so I'm just going to ask you for your birthday, and if you just tell me how old you are.
Absolutely.
When is your birthday? And for other people who are listening who might be, you know, I was saying that people could actually get the book, Cards of Your Destiny, if people want to learn how to do the system. I mean, the book will teach them, but if they want to learn how I do it, then I suggest that they get the book and they could follow along, you know. So what's your birthday?
It's March 29th, 1959, and I'm 51 years young.
Uh-huh, 51 years young.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, so March 29th would make you a seven of clubs birth card.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then you have a jack of clubs ruling card. Okay, and it's interesting because you're a double club.
Wow.
Okay, and clubs represent the mind, anything to deal with the mental field, speaking, talking, thinking, you know, you have an abundance of that, you would say, okay? So double club. So you would tend to go more towards the mental side of life. All right. And so seven of clubs is your birth card. So the birth card is the card that represents the day we were born. And the planetary ruling card is always one of the cards in our life path. Every card has like a particular life path that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. And the planetary ruling card is always one of the cards in that life path. It's based on though your the sign that you were born under. And so you could say that you're an Aries, right?
Yes, I'm Aries.
So you're Aries, and so Mars rules Aries, and so the Mars card in your life path is the Jack of Clubs. So you're a seven of clubs, birth card, and a Jack of Clubs ruling card. So I'm going to tell you a bit about your cards, and then I will do some reading for you for this year that you're in, okay? So seven of clubs is, wow, my nephew's a seven of clubs. And I have a seven of clubs karma card, so I know a little bit about this card. But so there are two spiritual numbers in this system. One is a seven and one is a nine.
Uh-huh.
So a seven, though, what it is it represents, it always represents something like of a material challenge, but there's always a spiritual solution to that mundane challenge. So sevens, when they come in, it's almost like seven is the number that sits smack dab between 1 and 13.
Right.
So it's like you're right in the middle. You could say you somehow have one foot in the mundane world and one foot in the spiritual world. And really uh-huh. your task in life, like with this birth card, what you've come here to learn to do, is to actually develop more of the spiritual side. Mm-hmm. So like with the club, again, it's mental. So it's so you can say you can go from sometimes pessimistic thinking to enlightened mind, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's really about developing the dealing, working with all of the, whatever the habits, negative mental patterns and habits are that would have one feel pessimistic, working with those to actually develop more of your enlightened mind, because you do have a so while you have, you can go from one side to the other, you do have an innate ability to actually go to sort of expand and to touch into, tap into this spiritual sort of mindset, okay?
Right. And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and so it's just for you to deepen that and develop that, okay?
Right.
So a seven of clubs, and like I said, you'll experience both sides, but you're here to develop it. And also, seven of clubs have a real gift of creativity in you know, they do have a great creativity, okay?
Right.
So, and now Seven of Clubs also has an Eight of Diamonds as a first karma card. I'm an Eight of Diamonds, so you're actually my karma card. We're karma cards to each other.
Wow.
So we sort of reflect things in each other. That's what karma card people do to each other. So, but your first karma card is an Eight of Diamonds. And Eight of Diamonds is the Sun card. It's the card that sits right up in the crown line. It's right in the middle top of the crown, and it's sort of like the Fame card. So with it being your first karma, it's almost like you may have a secret desire for fame and recognition.
What?
For fame,
oh,
and recognition. Okay. There may be a secret relationship to that, okay? You may not may or may not be aware of it, but there may be like a secret kind of relationship to it or a secret desire for it. That's part of that Eight of Diamonds first karma card. And also, too, you might like to spend money, because Eight of Diamonds, you know, like to spend money too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they could be power shoppers, but you also have a Jack of Spades, the second karma card. That this gives you a lot of creativity and a lot of resourcefulness. Okay.
Okay.
So that's a bit about your Seven of Clubs. Now the Jack of Clubs just would make you, you know, would give you a really sharp mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because all Jacks are creative and they're very resourceful. So you got a Jack of Spades as a karma card, and you got a Jack of Clubs planetary ruling card. Okay, and Jacks are members of the royal family, but they're more like princes. They have like all the benefits of being in the royal family, but not a lot of the responsibility, because the queen and the kings have their. So they're kind of, most people see Jacks as fun loving, playful. You know, but Jacks are very, very resourceful, very creative, very resourceful. And a Jack of Clubs would be someone who would have a very powerful memory.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you experience it that way, but they have a very powerful mind, very powerful memory. Sometimes they may even have a photographic memory.
Yeah,
but they're just creative in the extreme. But they also can be mentally fixed. You know, especially if you have this double club, you can be can make you someone who's fixed in your mind, you know. I'm not saying that you are that way, but it could be a tendency if one doesn't learn how to actually go within into the sort of the emotional side more to balance it out, okay?
Uh-huh.
But a Jack of Clubs means you would be able to really excel in almost anything you did, because it gives you such a powerful mind that, you know, you can work with detail and you're highly intelligent, you know. And you could just figure things out. And you're also good at arguing and discussing things. And they also enjoy competition because they have such a powerful mind, okay? So now the only thing with the Jacks is, and I know you, and I know this, you know, is not true of you, but just as people who are listening in, you know, with so much mental creativity and so much mental power and with that kind of memory, you know, it could be expressed negatively. It could be expressed in sort of, just honestly, in a variety of ways, because, you know, you can imagine that kind of person can get away with a lot.
Right. Right.
That kind of memory and that kind of ability to be able to just think on their feet, and they don't forget things, and, you know, it can be hard to catch them in a lie, okay? But
right.
I'm just saying that part so people can learn more about the Jacket Clubs, okay?
Right.
But
I noticed for myself, my mind serves me incredibly well. My mind and my spirituality serve me incredibly well when I'm speaking. Like on stage, it's almost like I can see as an observer my mind working. It's very interesting in the speaking part. So it's perfect that what I do as a profession is speaking. It's like, oh, that totally makes sense. And I'm a spiritual speaker, so it totally makes sense.
Perfect. That's perfect for you because, you know, you've got the mind, and then the seven of clubs means you have to do it. You have to go to the spiritual side.
Have to. Yeah, it's like it's a perfect, it's a perfect. As you're saying that, I'm like, oh, my God, that's perfect.
Yep, and how fortunate for you that you're doing work that's just really perfectly aligned with, you know, who you came here to be.
Yes.
You know, so congratulations. That, you know, I mean, most people don't find that.
Yeah, no, I'm very delighted. Very delighted. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Okay, so that's about your card. So now I'm going to look at your spreads for this year in both your Seven of Clubs and in your Jack of Clubs card. And then if you tell me what's going on a little bit and what you have a question about, I can kind of read, because, you know, like I said, these spreads are set for each year, but the way this is read is in context to each person's life and what's going on in their life. You know,
right.
Because you can imagine, well, if someone's married, I would, you know, and if their relationship cards in their spreads, I would read it differently from someone who's single. It's always read in context to that individual person's life because the cards have several different, you know, possibilities and meanings to them.
Okay.
So let's see. So is there any area that you want me to kind of focus on, or do you have a question about anything?
Well, it's interesting because I know a little bit about this is amazing. This is amazing. The cardiology. I didn't know that's what you call it, but I have the book, so I know. I knew I was a seven of clubs, but I didn't. And sometimes I look to see who my perfect partner is. And if you would go by the Venus spread, like, and I don't know. You know much more about this than I do, but I've always wondered when I look at the book. I go, it seems like my perfect partner would be a six of diamonds because if I look at it, it would be attractions very high, the clashing parts very low. It's like a negative three, and the compatibility is super high. It's like a 9-3 step or something like that. And so I always wonder, is that going to be my partner? And so that would be a later on question to ask you. But I guess the things I would want to know for me in my life right now would be about my career, how it's what you're seeing, how it's moving forward. I have a sense myself, but I'd love to hear what you had to say about that. And I am single right now, so I'd love to hear what you see in terms of my divine, beautiful partner showing up.
Okay, so when you say you have the book, are you looking in a love cards book?
Yes, that's the book that I have.
Okay.
It's in
the love cards. All right, well, let me just say that is not... Okay, if you really want to have more of an accuracy, it probably is to get a report because the love card books really just takes into the birth card, doesn't take into account the planetary ruling cards.
Right.
So those, I know what you're talking about, those indicators in the back won't be completely accurate. I mean, it'll give you an idea. And just so you know, probably depends on what kind of relationship you want to have. If you want to have a really close relationship, the best connections are the moon connections.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And
yes.
Why is that? That's interesting.
Because the moon connections indicates a desire to be close to someone. It's for marriage, that connection is seen more than any other connection. Because you just feel this desire to be close to a person. It's the most supportive kind of close connection you can have, the moon connection.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, good to know.
Okay.
Okay, yes.
All right. We can talk about that some other time, but that's just so you know, but I just want to throw that out to you.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
so,
in your expertise, I'd love to see what you see for me career-wise for this, you know, for the next year, and then what you see for me relationship-wise. I'd love to hear what you see for that.
Okay, well, what's standing out at me right now in your Seven of Clubs spread is you've got a Four Hearts resolve.
That's
Queen of Hearts environment. Queen of Hearts environment means pleasure in relationships. It also could mean being a mother. It also could indicate getting married. And a Four of Hearts result is is an indication of marriage. Is there any prospect in the works here?
You know what, Clarissa? I can feel his energy. I always tell people he's so close I can taste him, but he's not in the physical plane. And last night, actually, when I was doing my meditation, I was like, "All right, Spirit, I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm able. Bring him on." So you see that he's close.
And you got a King of Hearts long range. That's the perfect ideal lover, and it's long range, which is the most. The long range card is the most important card of the whole year. It's the thing we are focused on. And you got a King of Hearts, and so if he's somebody's showing up this year. Now these spreads start on your birthday, so it goes from birthday to birthday. So March 29th, you went into this spread. So let me just. Look at, so March 20th, you're in right now, you're in your, which period of the year you are in? I would be surprised if somebody did not show up, Elizabeth. I really would be surprised.
Really?
So you're in Jupiter right now.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's the time when you can make the most money and when you know. Wait, hold up a second.
Okay.
Oh, King of Hearts. Trying to
oh, my God, this is such exciting news. Thank you, Clarissa.
You got a 3 of clubs, 5 of clubs underneath that. In your 7 of clubs, Fred, look, you've got, I think he's going to show up towards the end of the year. Maybe in your Saturn period. The reason I say that is because you've got a Queen of Hearts underlying in your Uranus period and a Queen of Hearts in your Neptune period. You also actually have a 5 of Hearts and a 3 of Hearts in Saturn, and that indicates change of relationship status. And a 3 of Hearts represents meeting a lot of new people. So I'm kind of suspecting that maybe you'll meet them sort of in the next couple of months.
Ooh.
You're in Jupiter right now, and you go into Saturn October 23rd. Saturn is not necessarily the best period.
I know that.
Usually, if you know how to use Saturn, it's like you can really learn a lot. But I think what might happen is you will meet people, you will meet different people during that period, and maybe out of one of those people, he may show up. Because then the next period, you've got a 7 of Diamonds and then a Queen of Hearts underlying that. And the Queen of Hearts means that I think you might start having sex with him. I use this book for my life, which is how I really learn how to use this system.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, it happens.
Okay.
It happens. So,
can I tell you something, Clarissa?
What?
Last night, I was falling asleep, and in my meditation, Spirit goes, "Baby girl, it's time for you to have sex." I'm not kidding you. Like, for the wellness of your body and the rejuvenation of everything. I'm like, well, bring him on. I'm ready. Bring him on further.
It's going to happen. Before your next birthday, you having sex with somebody. Okay? I am telling you. You got all these heart cards. You got your displacement card is the Ace of Hearts, which is about, an Ace of Hearts is, at its core, it's going deep within ourselves in a displacement period. Well, you know a little bit about it. You have to kind of pay attention to it. So this year you need to pay attention to what you really want in relationship. What's going to really make you happy? What do I really need and want in me to make me happy? And at the core, how do I love myself? Do I love myself enough to allow myself to be loved by myself and to allow others to love me? And from this kind of exploration within yourself, a new relationship will come about. That's what it really means. So it's an inner experience, but that inner experience really leads to an actual outer experience, a new way of loving yourself and in the end, new ways of being loved, okay?
Yeah.
And it can also represent, you know, a new relationship or a new baby or something like that, but it's some kind of way that you learn to love yourself. So that's number one.
Okay.
Then you got the Queen of Hearts environment, and the environment is always a blessing. Queen of Hearts, it's either you're going to be a mother or you're blessed at being a mother, or you're blessed in your being a spouse to someone, or it means sensuality and sexuality. And in your case, since you're single, and, you know, you just had that insight, your deeper self is telling you what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
I predict you will be experiencing some pleasure in relationships before, you know, the end. And then you've got the King of Hearts long range. That is definitely a lover, someone we see as an ideal partner. So that's indication of showing. And you got this Four Hearts result, which is basically you end up sort of either going to marry someone, or you end up wanting to create a sort of a satisfactory relationship with someone. But somehow it's – so you've got – so four of your cards, there are 5-year-long cards in the spread, and 4 of them are hearts.
Wow.
Okay? And 2 of them are the marriage cards, the Four of Hearts and the Queen of Hearts. So I'm just like, hey, if something doesn't happen – I'm like, wait a minute, something, you blocking it or something, okay? And then you have an 8 of Hearts. You went through Venus, but sometimes, and so there's 7 periods through the year. There's 5 cards that are in effect all year. And then there are the 7 periods that are 52 days each. Okay, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Those planets rule those 7 periods. And in your Venus period, which you went through, you had an 8 of Hearts, which is social charm and power, and in some extent that lasts throughout the year as well. So you've got a ton of heart cards this year. Definitely relationship is up, and like I said, you're in Jupiter right now, and you've got a 2 of clubs and Ace of Diamonds. So did you start anything? You start new as a money making venture? If you start it now, it will be successful. Have you started something?
I am. Yes, I'm starting. I'm starting a couple of things. Dr. Elizabeth is going amazingly well, and I've been able to be placed in these different situations. And I started it right after Mercury went direct on whatever that was this month. And so there's about 4 or 5 things in place right now which are poised and ready to go.
Okay, great. Okay, so, yeah, whatever you start, like launch them, you know, before October something, launch them before October 23rd, and you know, that's going to be really successful, okay?
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Conversations, communication, 2 of clubs, partnerships. Are you doing any partnerships?
I am right now. There's a couple of people who want to do some collaboration things.
Okay. So explore that. And if you did that and partnerships with others, it would be successful, okay?
Wow.
Okay. So now then you go into Saturn and you have a 5 of hearts and 3 of hearts. You're going to be meeting people, okay? And you may have your choice of men, okay?
Really?
Yeah. You may, yeah. So just don't be surprised if more than one shows up, okay? And you may probably, I'm thinking in Saturn, you know, we learn lessons, and it may be where you will be something, you know, I talked about activations in the first part of the class. I mean, because it's one thing to want it, and but then when they show up, then, you know,
right.
We have to deal with all the stuff that comes up around that.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm dealing with that now. I'm sort of, you know, involved with someone, and I'm all that work we did in Master Me, I'm telling
uh-huh.
you, I'm using it, okay?
I bet you are. I know you are.
Yeah, so just so it's not that it's Saturn is bad,
right.
It just gives us the opportunity to grow and to expand.
Right.
You know, so I'm saying it looks like that's going to, you know, come up for you, and you're going to have that opportunity, but that's going to help you be able to probably choose the person that's right for you.
Uh-huh.
Because then when you go into Uranus, like I said, you got a Queen of Hearts on the line, and I think that's when, you know, it might be where you're ready to actually, you know, explore, you know, to experience the beautiful, you know, sexuality, okay, or just
but
the beautiful being in partnership with a man.
Yeah, because I don't just want the sex. I mean, I've never been one. It's not just sex has never been just the sex. For me, I want the whole union, I want the whole enchilada. Like, I want the whole thing, the partnership, the deep connection on all levels. So do you see this happening by Christmas? Because somehow I keep getting an intuitive hit that he's showing up by Christmas. Does that seem?
Okay, well, I see the Queen of Hearts. In Uranus is in your Uranus period, and that is starts December 14th.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what? I told a friend the other day, I said, I'm going to get him for Christmas. I see my sister. I said, maybe I'll get my beautiful life partner for Christmas.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be at the end of your cycle. So like the last two periods are Uranus and Neptune, and like I said, the Uranus period starts December 14th. So I would begin to look after. I mean, I think, who knows, you may meet him before then. He may be one of these things that show up, but you may not actually begin that the relationship to the level until then or something. I don't know, but just, or maybe the people will show up to make you even more clear about what you want. But
right.
there's going to be some kind of way in which you're going to be exploring, well, what is it that I really want? Is it that? Do I want that and that? You know, but someone's going to show up. The ideal person will show up for you. The right person will show up. So let me just even look in your – that's just in your 7 of clubs spread.
Wow.
And
this is amazing, Clarissa. This is amazing.
Yeah. So just briefly in your – oh, my God, I'm just missing the time. Okay, so in and actually – now, I mean, you could meet somebody now because you have a 5 of hearts in Jupiter now, and that's actually changing relationship status. And you also have a 9 of hearts in Saturn. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is actually cleaning. Do you have any kind of old boyfriends lurking out there?
No, I pretty much cleared all that up. Like,
okay, you cleared all that up.
They're wanting to come back, but I'm very clear. And I've done, like, the whole cleansing and letting it go and cutting the cords and all of that. So there's nobody who's hooked in that is that could pull on me.
Okay, great. Okay, well, all right, so this is interesting. But you will end up, I believe you will end up, you definitely will end up in a relationship by the end, because you also have a 5 of hearts underlying long range, and that's a change in relationship status.
Wow.
So if you're single, you change your relationship status. If you're married, you change your relationship status. And you have a lot of twos in your Jack of Clubs spread for the year. And twos are partnership. You got a 2 of Spades in Jupiter. You also had that 2 of Clubs in your 7 of Clubs. So partnership definitely, I would say, would be a benefit for you. And you have a 2 of Spades long range. So working partnership is actually going to be a benefit for you. So I don't know, you mentioned that you had several options. I would really look at those and really feel into what of those really feels like most aligned with you. And but that's definitely a way to go, because it's indicating that would be a benefit for you and a way for you to make money. And on top of that, you have a 2 of Diamonds result, and the result is always what we end up with at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
And a 2 of Diamonds is a business partnership, some kind of way in which you make money in partnership with someone. But it's also, too, you know how people do leveraging and especially on the Internet? So it's also like that. It's like you knowing someone actually helps, you know, maybe expand your database or your list. There's some kind of way in which you do partnerships that's actually going to help you leverage, you know, your exposure to other people, okay?
Yes, I woke up. It's so brilliant. I woke up. Now I know why Spirit said, make sure you get on this call, because I woke up this morning and Spirit was downloading all of these different ideas to me. Talk to this person. Explore this. Do that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, and work is like a theme for you. Like, you do need to be paying attention to work this year, because you're displacing the 10 of Spades, which is a lot of work projects, and you've got the 2 of Spades, which is work to partnership. So you've got the theme of, like, the relationship on one side of yourself, and then you've got the theme of working on the other side of yourself, and working partnerships seem to be a major theme. And also, change in the way that you've been doing work from the past is indicated by your challenge this year.
Yes.
So
definitely.
So definitely been a challenge for you?
Well, there's definitely, I'm feeling like there's a change in the way I'm going to be doing business. Like, I've been longing for a partnership. Every time I look at Catherine and Claire, I was like, oh, it's what I want. Like, I really want a great partnership with somebody, and I'm feeling like I'm switching the way I'm doing business is definitely, it's moving into a better place.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. So, because this indicates a complete kind of, you know, 5 of Spades is like the biggest card of change, because it's change in work and it's change in health. And I know you're healthy, you know. So,
yeah.
But yeah. So, and there's also a Queen of Hearts underneath that too. So again, I just think this is indicating you're gonna just a change in your whole lifestyle. So I think I predict, you know, you're changing the way you work, and I also think, again, it indicates a change in your relationship status. So that's what I see, you know, with the time I have, that's what I see going on. I hope that was helpful.
Oh, my God, it was
beautifully helpful. This is, you know what it was? It was confirmation on what Spirit was telling me, and it was languaging in a way that is very encouraging for me, because it's been a little bit at one thing about you'll see a guy who has some of the qualities that you said, you alluded to something like that. And I did. Last week I met a guy, and he's not, I'm very clear, he's not my guy. We're on, our paths, our lives are on different trajectories. But he's just, he models for me like I haven't had someone model in probably 25 years. A very deeply spiritual, very loving, very sweet, playful, playful quality about him, of the kind of man that I want. And I was like, oh, he's really modeling that for me. So he's showing me, his showing up, I told him, I said, your showing up really is demonstrating to me what I'm wanting, you know, to create. So you're showing me that he's close. His arrival, my friend's arrival, is showing to me that my husband is very close.
Yes, yeah, and it just helps you get clearer and clearer, you know.
That's what you said, yeah, getting clear on what I want.
Yeah, and so, and you'll recognize him when he shows up. But so that might happen, you know, until the end of the year when he actually shows up, and so you'll have that opportunity, and it's great. And just one, because I know we're running late, one last thing I wanted to say.
Yes.
As I said, you had the Five of Spades. It's what transforms you. It's like your challenge card for the year. That's in your Jack of Clubs spread, and then your Ace, and then your Seven of Clubs spread. I didn't talk about your Pluto card. It's an Ace of Spades. So you got these two spades, these two cards of change in work and health, and the Ace of Spades is the biggest card of change. It's the card of death and rebirth.
Uh-huh.
It's the card of transformation. And then the Five of Spades is really the biggest change on, like, the mundane level. So I'm just, and they're in both in challenge positions. So just know, I know this is going to be, like, even though all of this stuff is there and the energies are there, I can really see and understand and feel that this is also a challenge for you, okay? So I just want to encourage you to hang in there.
Okay.
Just put one foot in front of the other. And
okay.
These changes are really, you know, at the end of this, you're just going to be so thrilled with the changes. And some of the changes may seem sudden. That's what an Ace of Spades will do sometimes.
Okay.
But just trust, you know, in what's unfolding, and, you know, trust the deeper field, you know, that the field has your back, and
right.
That these are necessary changes, and even though it might be, oh, you know, so I just want to encourage you to just know you're loved, and you're doing well, and you're just going to make it through it.
Right. Well, there's been deep, what I wrote down, what I got when you were saying that is clearing out what doesn't belong to me. And that's what the challenges, I don't know if that's what you see, but what the challenges feel like to me is the clearing out and pulling out by the roots of what does not belong to me. Those old fault centers, old ways of thinking and being that don't serve me.
Yes, and you know that's going to be so great because next year you go into your pinnacle year, which is a whole other discussion. At age 52, mm-hmm. Everybody goes, not, it's not the pinnacle, is it the pinnacle? At age 52 is a very important year. So
wow.
You're 51 now, and all the work you're doing now is setting you up for this next year, because at age 52, it's like it's a blessing year. It's like a wish-fulfilling year.
That's like, ooh, I got goosebumps. Yeah.
All the things that we've been wanting, like, and it's like at age 52, the things that have been the hardest for us all our life, it's like somehow at age 52, it's like it becomes easier. Almost like all those, the thing that has been the hardest thing for us at age 52 is almost like somehow magically we just get this boost and this lift, and that thing becomes so much easier. So anything that you can do to prepare for this age 52
yes.
year is just, it's just icing on the cake. It's just great. So you are right on whatever, you know, you're into. Of course, you know all these things. We know all these things. These systems just confirm what we know and help
yes.
us to just own them. It's not that they're telling us anything that's like, you know, that we don't really know. It's just helping us to really honor what we know deeply within ourselves. But anyway, you're preparing yourself for this next year, too, so it's great.
Yes, it's a beautiful. Your reading was extraordinary. Now I know why all the girls have been raving about you.
Okay.
It was beautiful and a huge confirmation and incredibly, you know how you're walking in the desert and you're like, oh, my God, because the part where you were saying about
challenging. It has been challenging because I'm like, I remember I love Sex in the City. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. And I remember Charlotte one time, she's like, I've been dating since I was 17. Where is he?
I know. I know that line.
I just went to sleep last night. Like, I've been dating for forever. I'm 51 years old. Where is he? And I just been feeling like that. So all of this is just like, it feels like I just received an entire oasis. Like I landed in an oasis of alkaline water that I can just like drink and play in. And that's what the reading is. It's just, it's like spirit going, come on, baby girl, you're doing great. Just keep on going.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's like, you're right on track.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, keep going. Yep, you're right.
You're doing great. Keep on learning the lessons. Keep on clearing.
Uh-huh.
Keep on moving forward.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. And I really thank you. It was really wonderful. And I'm going to, with your permission, are men allowed on the call or only women?
Oh, no. Anybody who has any interest, who wants, and I say spread the word. And you know, I'm going to, at some point, I'll download this and, I mean, I'll upload it onto my website, and you can download it as an MP3 file, and you can listen to it over and over again.
I would love that. I'd love to hear the reading again, because what I do is I really take them in, I put them on my phone, I listen to it, and I'm going to send my, I'm going to refer my friend to come onto your call, because I think he's looking for answers, and he's a beautiful spirit, and I know he would flourish with your wisdom. And I think it would be beautiful for him. So I'm going to send him next week. His name's Jarvis, and he's just a sweet, sweet, sweet spirit. You'll feel his energy. He's just,
Jarvis.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I would love that. I've had a guy on the call before, I've done a reading for a guy twice, so, no worries, no need to feel, it's unusual.
Okay.
It's just been so a pleasure. I miss you all.
I saw
the picture at the barbecue. I was like, oh!
I know. And can I tell you something? Jennifer was so cute. She was hugging me, and she goes, it was me. I was standing there, and Susan and herself, and I think it was Jackie, and she's like, I miss Clarissa. And she just was like, hug a hug. Let's put Clarissa in the middle of the hug.
Thank you.
Like, I know. And it was just so perfect because I really want, I was like, oh, I'm going on the call. And then Spirit's like, you got an interview to do, girl. You got to get ready. And then we scheduled the interview for later on this week. So I was like, oh, I could be on the call. It was so perfect. So this is.
See how powerful you are?
Oh, my gosh. See how powerful you are. You call me for my meditation. You're like, get your butt into my teleseminar right now.
Two powerful ladies. Wow. Okay.
Yes, we are. So now I don't know if you can share with me, like in a nutshell, can you tell me about this wonderful person who showed up for you?
Oh, can I? I don't want to call. Can you call me like right after and I'll tell you?
Yes, I'll be on my way to. I'll be driving to my appointment, so
okay.
I'll call you when I'm on my way to my appointment. Let me make sure I have your phone number in my. Let me just make sure.
Yeah. Okay, and anyone who's on the line, well, I know we went over, so I appreciate everybody who is listening to this call, but I really hope that you've learned a lot because I kind of went into as much depth as I could with the time remaining, and this is really the way you learn the cards. But actually, you really, really learn it by studying your own life and studying the lives of other people, but I hope that you were able to glean much information from the reading I did with Elizabeth and the conversation we had, and also, too, with the topic I discussed. And next week I will go into more detail about how to actually just create negative identities. Okay, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Clarissa.
Should I call? I have your number. Can I call you?
Yes, I have a number on YouTube. But go ahead. Call me. That would be perfect. Call me because you have my number. You have my cell. Call me, and then I'll confirm that I have your correct number.
Okay, great. Okay, so for everyone else, I'll talk to you soon, Elizabeth, and good day, everyone. I'll be here same time next week, okay? Have a wonderful, wonderful day. All right.
Thanks,
bye.
Clarissa. Ciao.
Awesome. Bye.